Well, if you would take your copy of God's Word and turn to Romans 15. We are in Paul's concluding section of his letter. His letter to the Romans, which he would have dictated to Tertius. So we can imagine him perhaps pacing and dictating this letter, and now he's getting to the end, and he knows he's getting to the conclusion. Perhaps they're running out of parchment, because it's been a long letter, his longest. I guess it's his longest. I said that. 1 Corinthians is pretty long, too. I haven't counted the words. But one of his longest. And we're going to read in verses 22 to 33. This is God's Word. This is the reason why I have so often been hindered from coming to you. And he's just talked about his ministry throughout the entire countryside. But now, since I no longer have any room for work in these regions, and since I have longed for many years to come to you, I hope to see you in passing as I go to Spain, and to be helped on my journey there by you, once I have enjoyed your company for a while. At present, however, I am going to Jerusalem, bringing aid to the saints. For Macedonia and Achaia have been pleased to make some contribution for the poor among the saints at Jerusalem. For they were pleased to do it, and indeed they owe it to them. For if the Gentiles have come to share in their spiritual blessings, they ought also to be of service to them in material blessings. When therefore I have completed this, and have delivered to them what has been collected, I will leave for Spain by way of you. I know that when I come to you, I will come in the fullness of the blessing of Christ. I appeal to you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to strive together with me in your prayers to God on my behalf, that I may be delivered from the unbelievers in Judea, and that my service for Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints, so that by God's will I may come to you with joy and be refreshed in your company. May the God of peace be with you all. Amen. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Our Father in heaven, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation in our hearts this morning would be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. I was a youth pastor, my first ordained ministry, as an assistant pastor in South Carolina. And occasionally I would drive the van and drive youth to youth events. And this was a pretty tough youth group to please, and parents that were even more challenging to please as a youth minister. I suppose I was nervous half the time I was doing things with them. And one Sunday, we were going to a swimming party that another church was having in another city. And I got on the van where all the youth were, and I'm going to take you right now. I'm going to try to, for those of you who know the city of Greensboro, this is the easiest way for me to describe this, okay? So imagine we're in downtown Greensboro. And we need to go to the church in Utah, up 14, for this swimming party. But imagine the youth pastor gets in the van and heads down 25 to Fonsdale, heading to, thinking maybe George McKee's hosting the swim party. And of course, this party starts at a certain time and ends at a certain time. And imagine, you know, you're getting about to that Mennonite church and you realize, I don't think I'm on the right highway. And so you pull in and turn around and head to Utah. Well, that happened to me, except it was in South Carolina. And on some level, Paul is about to do a kind of a trip like that. If you caught what Paul is planning to do here, as he's winding down this letter, he's telling the Romans of his plans. And his plan is to go to Spain, which would have been If you go all the way back to the Old Testament, when Jonah was told to go to Nineveh, but decided he would go to Tarshish, that's basically probably where he was trying to go to Spain, the furthest part of the known, you know, you might say the known world to this group of people living in the Holy Land, as we call it now, at that time. So he wants to go to Spain through Rome, but he says he's going to go to Jerusalem first. So again, simply the fact that Paul is planning this, let me just put that in perspective here. Paul's about to sail from Corinth to Jerusalem, taking with him a collection he's been organizing. Then he's intending to go from Jerusalem to Rome, and then from Rome to Spain. Now, if he were to make all these journeys by ship, and I'm being helped here by John Stott, the first one would be about 800 miles. The second, 1,500. The third, 700. Making a minimum total of 3,000 miles. And he's going to go hundreds of miles out of the way first before he goes to Spain. So let's try to ask ourselves, why? Well, why? Because it's the work of God and the hope of man. Number one, obedience to God and ministry to man, verses 22 to 24. This is why Paul believes he is doing this. He wants to be obedient to God and he wants to minister, to continue a ministry to the fellow believers. So, again, he begins this portion of the letter saying, okay, look, the reason I haven't come to you yet in Rome is I've been ministering over this entire region. But now, the gospel, I've planted churches. The gospel is going forth, and I believe by God's grace now, who God himself was the one hindering him. God had other plans. Paul had to finish God's plans for him before he could go on to what his hope of now taking the ministry even further. But now, verse 23, since I no longer have any room in these regions, in other words, I've completed the task here, the task for me, I can leave it now with others like Timothy and Titus. I've longed for many years to come to you. And so I hope to see you in passing as I go to Spain and to enjoy, here's how he puts it, I hope to see you in passing as I go to Spain and to be helped on my journey there by you once I have enjoyed your company for a while. All right, I'm going to take it in order of the passages here. He's kind of going in different order. He's talking about the future before he gets down to the more current. So I'm going to just start and talk about his... He wants to be obedient to God. He wants to have ministry to man, or to men and women, to humanity, to mankind. Paul is thankful he's completed a particular task of ministry. It's probably taken about 20 years. Most commentators think he's about 60 now at this time. And he's sort of letting the Romans know, I'm going to come to you. I'm going to spend some time there. Now, in the next point, we're going to talk about what he's going to do first. But he's telling them, listen, I'm going to come to you. I'm coming to Rome, hopefully on my way to Spain. I have a vision of mission, of evangelism to the far, you know, part of the earth that I know of. And so he wants to come see them on his way. And that's his plan, to come through Rome on his way. And he's sort of giving them a little hint. He's going to come do some support raising there. And he's going to enjoy deep fellowship. In fact, to put it literally when he says these words, I hope to see you in passing as I come to Spain to be helped on my journey there by you once I have enjoyed your company for a while. That is actually a loaded sentence right there. Literally it says, I want to be filled to the brim and saturated with your company. He wants to enjoy rich enjoyment and refreshment. So he's saying, on my way to Spain, I think we could be saying, I'm going to need a little break. First of all, he's going to be going hundreds of miles out of the way before he gets there and then have to come back. He's completed a long ministry task and he's looking forward to just being with the church to enjoy fellowship. He wants to be obedient to God's call for him to evangelism. He wants to offer the ministry of evangelism, but in the meantime, on his way, he wants some fellowship, and he wants to do some support raising. And that's what he's giving him a little hint. And in fact, that word where it says helped by you, basically, again, the word at the time had become, again, our translation in English, it just says to be helped on my journey. Verse 20, to be helped on my journey. He's basically saying to gain provisions, to gain finances, to gain what I need to take the gospel to Spain. He's telling them ahead of time, that's what I'm coming to do. But I want to really enjoy fellowship with you. Again, the word koinonia, rich fellowship with you on my way. On my way. Now, I want to move on to the second point because it's attached to that first point of the fellowship, but it even goes further of why Paul's going out of his way first. Service to God and blessing to man. For he now tells them why, but actually right now I'm going to go to Jerusalem, bringing aid to the saints. And then he mentions the places, Macedonia and Achaia or Achaia. Well, those Christians in Philippi, in Thessalonica, in Galatia, and in Corinth, these Gentiles who've come to know Jesus, the Jew, the Messiah, the one that Isaiah pointed to, the suffering servant, he's come, but he's going to be the one that also takes the gospel to the Gentiles. And these Gentiles have come into the fellowship. And it's interesting. I hope you can kind of maybe chuckle with me as we... it says, verse 27, they were pleased to do it. Can you imagine what Paul was like when he was there? And we can read about some of it in Acts. It says that they were pleased to give. Now, can you imagine Paul standing up before them telling them, hey, I'm going to take an offering to Jerusalem. We're about to pass the plate. And he would do it and they gave. They were pleased to give. They also had Paul doing the asking. So they gave. But Paul tells us how they actually gave out of poverty. You know, the Macedonians in particular. We can read about that in Acts. And in the Thessalonians. I mean, in his variety of letters, he tells about this. This was, if you think about it, Paul, the apostle, who wrote all these letters, who the great theologian of history... He had this burden of giving, of taking up an offering. You can read about it all through his letters. I mean, he was like a single-minded in this task. I'm going to collect this offering as I go through my ministry and take it back to Jerusalem. And he's going to take it in person. But he has a reason that he's going to take it in person. He says they were pleased to do it, but also they owe it to them. Notice what he says here in the middle of verse 27. If the Gentiles have come to share in their spiritual blessings, they ought to be of service to them in material blessings. You see what he's saying? Jesus came. The Jewish Messiah is actually the Messiah for the whole world. And you've been grafted into this tree. Now, at this point, most of the Jews had rejected the Messiah, but the Gentiles are ripe for the harvest to come. And Paul is saying, listen, if all you Gentiles out here have received the good news and now have a hope in heaven forever, then these Jews who are suffering in Jerusalem, there was a famine, we're told, Agabus, so there was a famine. There's also the simple fact that Christians are not, well, they're not very highly thought of in Jerusalem or in Rome for that matter. In fact, Christians had been, and Jews in particular, along with some Christians, have been thrown out of Rome in AD 49. It's not like they're the most popular people in Jerusalem. And they need help, and Paul is taking this up, and he's giving a spiritual foundation to this help. That's probably something helpful for us to think about, and I'm going to do some application at the end, but just that we look at how God blesses some of us in one way, blesses others in a different way. He doesn't bless us all the same. All of our bank accounts don't have the same amount of money in them. And yet,
We can look at how he blesses us and say, you know what, you've blessed me in this way so I can share some of this blessing. You've blessed me in this way so I can share some of this blessing. And that's what Paul is saying. For they were pleased to do it. If they've shared in their spiritual blessings, they also should be of service to them in material blessings. Basically, oh, help us to be the same kind of models as these. So Paul, seeking to be obedient to God in his evangelistic task, enjoy the ministry and fellowship of those in Rome, he wants to take this blessing back to Jerusalem first. And so he continues this portion of the letter, and we're going to look at communion with God and fellowship with man. So, when therefore, verse 28, I have completed this and have delivered to them what has been collected, he's going to do it in person. I think he believes he really needs to do this, and we're going to see that he's a little nervous about it because of his prayer request. When I have done this, then I will leave for Spain by way of you. So once I've gone all the way to Jerusalem, I'm going to come back to Rome and then go to Spain from there. So there it is in a summary, what he's planning to do. I know that when I come to you, I will come in the fullness of the blessing of Christ. Now, I included a little quote from one of the commentaries I study. I put it in our bulletin. Recall that when Paul first wrote this letter to the Romans, he was a free missionary of the Lord, sent out by the church in Antioch. However, by the time he finally arrived in Rome, it was as a prisoner of Rome, after having been arrested in Jerusalem. You know, even Paul, the Apostle Paul, didn't have his prayers always answered in the way that he thought they might be or he desired for them to be. And I've already alluded to one of these in my prayer because he tells us about it in 2 Corinthians, that what we know of as his thorn in the flesh. He begged God to take that away and God said no. In this case, now I'm going to mention there is some speculation wondering if Paul ever made it to Spain at all. Let's see. If he made it there, we shall never know. The nearest thing we have evidence of, the only possible evidence that maybe Paul did make it to Spain was this. The Clement of Rome, in his first letter to the Corinthians, dated about 96-97, AD 96 or 97, it talks about Paul's noble renown as a herald of the gospel. Quote, to the whole world he taught righteousness, and reaching the limits of the West, he bore his witness before rulers. Now that could be Rome, or that could be Spain. We don't know. That's the only evidence we have that maybe he made it. Most commentators, we believe, he didn't make it. God said no to his desire to go to Spain. But he did make it to Rome, only he made it as a prisoner. Again, we can read that in Acts. And we read in Acts also how when he went to Jerusalem, he was arrested. And that gets us to his prayer that he makes here. So he's asking them now to pray. And I put communion with God because he's asking them to pray, to get down on their knees, to pray, to the word here when it says, strive together, verse 30, strive together. That is a word used for athletic competition. He's saying, strive together, get a prayer workout for me. Because I'm going to Jerusalem. And I used to be a Pharisee, and I was trying to stamp out the church, and then I came to Jesus. And they've been trying to kill me my whole life now, or my last 20 years. Would you pray for me? Pray that I may be delivered from the unbelievers in Judea, that this service for Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints. There's maybe a hint here. He's praying, pray that they'll take up this, that they'll receive this money. I've been collecting this money for all these years. Pray that they'll take it. They'll be glad to receive it. You know, sometimes, the messenger People don't like the messenger. They don't want the gift he brings. And then he continues, and then continue this prayer, so that by God's will I may come to you with joy and be refreshed in your company. All right, I appeal to you, brothers, back to verse 30. I appeal to you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit to strive together. He's telling us, pray. Your only way to God is through Jesus Christ, our mediator. Pray through the mediation of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. Earnestly engage and wrestle in prayer. Paul is telling them, and of course there's application for us, that the God who is the one with all power and wisdom and knowledge, the God who is the source and supplier of everything we have, that He may protect me, that He may bring me to see you. Paul's asking for help. I appeal to you. Wrestle in prayer for me. He didn't mind asking for others to pray for him. He wasn't too proud to do so. And again, he's talking here about communion with God and then fellowship, that I may come with joy and be refreshed in your company. And so he closes this portion with a benediction. May the God of peace be with you all. I have a quote here as one commentator describes kind of this last portion of the letter as Paul has taken here, particularly chapter 15. I'm going to read it to you. Paul spends many chapters in Romans teasing out the gospel and its implications. But in Romans 15, 14 to 33, we find the missionary heartbeat of the letter. Remember, he spent all those verses telling us about what it means to be saved by grace through faith in Jesus, and that we have the same faith of Abraham, who believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. And Jesus is the new Adam, where the first Adam failed, and we come to him by grace through faith. But now, having said all that, we're hearing his missionary heartbeat. We find the missionary heartbeat of the letter. Paul's missionary heart is on display. It should not surprise us. When you have a gospel as big as the gospel presented in Romans, you will want to take it to the nations. If you soak yourself in the good news presented in Romans, I cannot help but believe you too will want to be a Great Commission Christian, pouring out your life for the sake of, for the fame of Christ among the nations. Paul gives us a vision of what that looks like. So having told us about the gospel, the good news, the gospel, he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God to salvation for all who believe. He's now telling us, I want to take this all the way to Spain. And for us, just imagine the furthest place away. My grandmother used to say that saying, Timbuktu in Kalamazoo. Any of y'all ever have that one? Timbuktu, like taking the gospel to Timbuktu from Demopolis. That's what he wants to do. So what does this mean for us? This letter, God's inerrant word, as Paul's just telling the Romans what he wants to do? Well, it gives us a lot of things to think about. We want our church to be healthy, just like these churches that Paul is seeking their help, so that we can be a church that preaches and believes the gospel and lives out the implications of it and just have spiritual health. We want to be a church that worships God, that prays through our Lord Jesus, and by the love of the Spirit, that strives together in prayer. We want to be a church that has a holy ambition, like Paul did, driven by the gospel, and a heart for people. People here in Demopolis and around the world. We want to support church planting, like Paul did. We want to support evangelism and missions. We want to refresh those and pray for those who are out there in ministry. Jesus has forgiven us our sins and given us new life. What more can we do but those things I just mentioned? And so finally, when we fall short, let us repent, ask for forgiveness, and ask God to change us, make us more like Jesus, and give us this vision of ministry. Let us remember, as again I'm taking us, and you're patiently, you look pretty patient, you're here today, as I preach through these, what we seem might seem like mundane words, this is God's Word, and it's applicable to us. Romans 15 is applicable to us, just like Romans 3 and 4 and 5. Let us not forget that. And let us remember, as verse 33 tells us, the God of peace, the God of shalom. He's the God we need. He's the God the world needs. If you don't know the God of peace this morning, I pray you would call on the name of Jesus and be saved. You can talk to me about that or any of our officers, elders, and deacons in particular. We'd love to talk with you about it, that you would know the God of peace, that He would be with you. Well, we don't know if Paul made it to Spain or not, but we know that he was going to carry out his ministry with the joy of the Lord, and I pray that we can do the same. Let us pray. Father, Nehemiah told us the joy of the Lord is your strength. May the joy of the Lord be our strength. Lord, I pray that you would take this word, the word of God, write it upon our hearts, apply it to our lives as we let us hear, even as we depart now and this sermon, this time together will now be in the past. I pray that we would remember, even as we leave today and go have lunch and then go through our day. Let us remember, let us get a sense of just Paul's sense of urgency, Paul's sense of being a needy person, needing the Lord, needing prayer, of Paul's sense of confidence and a vision for ministry to the far ends of the earth. Give us that sense. Give us that spiritual sense of our brother Paul, that we would go forth, that we would be obedient to the Great Commission. Lord, again, forgive us of our sins. Purify us from all unrighteousness, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.